Hallelujah.
On holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. So let us praise Jesus now. Are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Father, we thank You.
Thank You.
Thank You that You're the giver of life. You which brought us from darkness by Your love and touched us with Your precious blood, You cause us to live. And so we praise You tonight. You brought us out of darkness and into Your glorious light, God, and surely at this moment we stand on holy ground. There are angels all about us, oh God, because, Lord, we're in Your presence and we want to praise You. We want to worship You. We want to tell You that we love You, God. So God, may we continually to abide in Your presence. Help us. Help us in the midst of this world that we rise above and walk in the kingdom of God. You said, Lord, that we are seated in heavenly places. And surely we are, for surely we experience even now that You are with us. So we worship You tonight. We give You all the thanks and praise, Father, for You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy of all praise and adoration. So we thank You. We thank You. We thank You. And we bless Your holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I got one over there open, so thank you.
All right,
thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Thank You for His life. Thank You for His blood. And thank You for just bringing us into right standing with the Father. Hallelujah. I want us to go to Luke tonight, Book of Luke. If we could turn to chapter 10. Amen. How many love Jesus tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Chapter 10 of Luke. And we're going to start in verse 25. Chapter 10 of Luke, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted Him. I would say he had some sort of motive, right? Saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? And how readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. Amen?
Amen.
to love God with all of our thoughts. All of our heart, all of our soul, and with all thy strength. And it says, and with all thy mind. You know, I've been blessed by this conference. I've been blessed by the presence of the Lord here. I've been blessed to see the destruction go to all of us. But I've been very blessed to see the destruction to our young adults.
Amen.
Because, you know, when I look out, and for me, I look out upon three generations that are in this place. Three, for sure. I look at my wife and me, and I'm looking out at a number of you that are of our age, and a number of us here have our children here, and some of us have our children's children here. Hallelujah. And I see the same thing that started in both Sue and I 37 years ago, where God came and touched our lives. He became real to us. I mean, we were steeped in trespasses and sins. We didn't know God. We knew religion. But we did not really know God until we became born again. But I tell you, once we became born again, it was like as far as night is from day. Hallelujah. And I can't express the joy that was on our hearts as we began to walk with God. Hallelujah. You know, and in His presence is fullness of joy. You know, as I was looking out, as the teachings were going on, and especially, you know, prioritizing the young people, I remember when we were young. Hallelujah. Now, I look at some of you here. Oh, yeah, don't be surprised. We were young. And some of you adults that were up here, we were only a few years older than you than when we became born again. And I'm telling you, to know God, that God of all the universe is walking with you, talking with you. Amen? And you know, it is something that solidified us. And I want to make sure that it's solidifying you. Amen? Remember, the greatest commandment of all is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Amen? You know, if we wanted to follow we could follow the formula of success in the kingdom of God is to love God first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I'm telling you, we didn't know much about the Bible, but we knew when we got born again, we got born again. Amen. And Jesus was with us. Amen. And it wasn't, you know, just when we were meeting, if we got together to pray. No, it was 24/7. You know, the next day after we woke up, I couldn't wait to come and tell people what God did that night before. And even it continued on. It wasn't just 2 days, 3 days. I remember someone says, wow, you know, something strange has happened. People were complaining to my parents. My parents were worried. My dad was all worried. And some guy says, oh, don't worry. He says, it's just a fad. It'll pass in 6 months. God touching your soul, it doesn't pass in 6 months. Huh? It's a forever thing. Amen. And I'm telling you, we had experiences time and time again. And that's not only in our youth, brethren. I mean, it's still to today. God is ever alive today as He was 37 years ago. But I wanted to put myself in your little shoes right now. Well, some of you have more little shoes than I do. Okay? But the fact is, to know God and how God takes us through experiences of life is that He has to be the foundation of our soul. Amen? And the only way it can is by first believing that God is. And He's a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. And you know, when I remember walking as a mail carrier, you know, I think it was the greatest job God ever gave me, because it gave me unfettered time with the Lord. I would walk and praise the Lord, and His presence was real with me each and every day. Hallelujah. I could feel His presence. Huh? Now, I don't believe that I was alone in this, because I know that whosoever will, God gives that experience. I think it was talking here earlier. It says, draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. It's a principle. It's the principle of the law of sowing and reaping. If I sow to the Spirit, what do I reap? Spirit, eternal life, don't I? But if I sow to the flesh, well, that's another matter. Then I reap corruption. I reap things that are not eternal. And so there is a blessing. There is a promise to God when we obey Him. Amen? And I look out, as I was talking about three generations, God keeps handing and passing the torch on to every next generation. Amen? And it's something, young people, never get discouraged when you're always battling problems, because those are trials. They're designed to help you, to push you further into God. If you want a carefree life, oh, you may get it, but you won't get the thing that God wants to give you, because in order for us to receive the kingdom of God, we must walk through tribulation. Because tribulation is very good. Can we say amen to that?
Yes,
amen. Huh? Paul said it, that we're to what? Rejoice in tribulation. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we're to love God. It's the first commandment. The greatest commandment is to love Him, right?
Yes.
And when we love Him, we must, you know, it's not it's not an action as much as it is what is a living reality. We were singing that song, we serve the living God. Huh? We serve the living God. And if God be for us, who could be against us? You know, how do I know all, when I read these words and all of a sudden thoughts come back, I study the Word of God through years and years. You know, it pays off to study the Word of God. Because if I get the Word of God within me, what comes out of me in the time of trouble is the Word of God. Huh? If I get into a lot of trouble and the Word comes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't tell you how many times I have quoted that scripture verse when the devil comes and wants to tell me otherwise. Hallelujah. But I'm telling you something here today, that the anointing that God brings upon generation to generation has come on to your generation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And sometimes there's a lot of struggles when you're young in life. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't know where we are in God. Well, what does God have in plan for me? Huh? You know, our early years, for years, we were blessed with His presence. Right, Susan? And, you know, we were involved in the things of the Lord. You know, we're having studies in our home, prayer. We weren't doing the things we did before. But, you know, even year after year, and going to conferences, sometimes it wasn't easy. I used to get beat up by the devil a lot. Hallelujah. And I was also scared to death to ever come up and talk at the pulpit. It took me 9 years before I ever got the courage. Come on, I'm just sharing some of my own inner struggles. Huh? Sometimes I see those struggles in some of my grandchildren. I'm able to encourage them. Hallelujah. And I remember going to people. I was always asking for prayer. I need prayer. I need prayer. Hallelujah. And I'd go to the conference. I'd feel so condemned at times. Devil was always working on me. Devil was always working on me. You're no good, you know. What gift are you to anybody, you know? And I always remember it. Hallelujah. It was an Illinois conference. And oh, the whole time, you know, I'd go to a conference, I'd struggle. The devil was working on me. You understand? Does the devil ever work on you?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I wanted as much, and I'd enjoy the conference, but then at the same time, I'm struggling because I'm feeling this condemnation on me. And sometimes the devil just seems to know how to pull you. So I'm there at this conference, and it was the end of the conference, and it was time for prayer, and I thought, I'm determined I'm going to go up and confess every sin. Oh, you know, devil would always, you know, beat me up. I didn't want to sin, but, you know, the devil was bringing everything upon me. And I remember walking up. Praise the Lord. You remember that, Sue? Brother Bert, you remember that? Brother Bert, I didn't really know him at the time. It was 1987, in fact. Didn't know much about Brother Bert. Met him in 82 in Rockford. But he was up, and if I remember right, he had been fasting and praying for a whole, I think, week or month before the conference. And he was up praying for people. And as I walked up, ready to say, oh, God, I repent of all my sins, he says, Brother, I see the devil there, and he's whipping your back. Whipping you, whipping you, whipping you. Hallelujah. And I go, what? That isn't what I'm thinking. I got to go up and repent to everybody. No, it was the devil. He was whipping me, bringing me into a place of captivity. And I go, praise the Lord. I'm starting to think, wow, something's different than what I know. But, so I get up there. And he says, Brother, this is what's happening. He goes, no, okay. I'm ready for prayer, right? You know? And he says, well, and he says, I want you to lay hands on me and you pray for me because I have the same struggle that you have. And now I'm really scared. I come up for prayer trying not to be noticed, you know. Okay, I want prayer. And I go, oh my God. So he lays hands on me. I lay hands on him. And there was probably as many people here, more. And there was a big circle of people. And I'm thinking, God, what am I supposed to pray? Huh? I come up and I'm being beat up by the devil. And I didn't know what to pray. And I lay hands on him. And he's praying. People are praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I start praying in tongues. And all of a sudden, I come out and I says, I rebuke you, spirit of fear. I rebuke you, spirit of fear. And I hear people going, yes, yes. I'm praying all the more. You know, I rebuke this spirit of fear. Hallelujah. You know, 7 years of walking the Lord, and you know, things don't come out so easy in life. Hallelujah. I think I've shared this with you before. I went to a conference in Illinois again. It was 1985, and I had this shirt, red shirt, almost as red as my wife's right there. And I was in way, we had a conference room. It was so long and narrow, and I sat in the back row. Wanted to be there, but you know. And this brother was up ministering, Brother Tommy Cook, in fact. And Tommy had come to our place sometimes, but I don't think he even knew who I was in the back. But all he said, he was up there preaching, and he also had a gift of prophecy. And all of a sudden, he says, I have a word for you, to the brother with the red shirt in the back row. And everybody, 200 people, turned their eyes on me. And the first thing I think of is I'm never going to wear this red shirt again. And he says, Brother, the Lord says that today he's delivering you from the spirit of fear.
Hallelujah.
I said, Amen. But you know, God has a way of working in our lives. Fear didn't leave me, so, you know, I got a certain victory in 85. I got another victory in 87. And, you know, I got another victory years later when God gave me something and I stood at a pulpit in Schuyler, Nebraska, and shared a word. I was saying, one day I'm going to have the strength to get up there and that my knees aren't knocking. And God did something over and over again. Well, I think we've told a lot of you about their story in 1990 where, you know, I was hiding from God. You ever hide from God? Oh, people are going on missionary trips. I wanted to go. You know, the Bible says it's God who works both to do and to good of his good pleasure in you. So all these things, I'm wanting God. I'm wanting his presence. I'm wanting the direction of God in my life. But at the same time, I have inhibitions. I have timidity. Hallelujah. And that first trip, Sue and me were going, the other brethren were going to Africa, and I thought, hey, I can volunteer. I'm going to go check on an orphanage. I can do administrative work. Hallelujah. And that time, my goodness, we got to Switzerland, Sue and me. We met the brethren in Africa. There were a team going, brother and sister Ducille. Brother Bert was there. I think Brother Clay Sonmore was there and others. Brother Ducille walked into the Dungar home. We were there a day ahead of him. And he walked in with a big box. He says, you're taking this to India. I said, well, what is that? He says, it's a megaphone. I go, a megaphone? He goes, yeah, you're going to need it. You don't have a very strong voice, and you're going to be preaching. And I said, preaching? He goes, yeah, you're going to be preaching every day. I go, what, me? Oh, God, God, God. I got back to my room that night. I go, how can I get my ticket changed? How can I go back? I couldn't get out of it. And I thought, oh, wow, what did I get myself into? And we got to India. Sure enough, it's preaching every day. Oh, yeah. Yeah, speaking in Telugu. That was the last day. But, you know, God was so gracious and merciful because, you know, it's not in our own strength. It's in him. And when I got up first, God would just begin to speak, just speak on this. And I wouldn't know, but I would minister, and it was the Lord. I remember one night, Sue, you remember that on that dusty road? We had a meeting in India, and all we had was a lantern. We were on a gravel road, and there were like 75 people there, and the Lord said, minister on the Holy Ghost. And I began to minister on the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit fell, and people began speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. You know, it taught me that God is in control. And and that last day, though, you know, so you're overcoming a little more. Hey, I can do this, I can do that, you know. And I could meet that level, no problem, ministering at the church. But the last day we were meeting with elders, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm having a good time because, you know, we got to know the elders and everything. Except for one stands up, he goes, hey, it's market day. We got Brother Georgie here, he can preach in the market. I go, oh, God. Oh, Jesus, help me. How do I get myself into these situations, you know? And they go marching down. Like Sue said, they had, what do they have though, Sue? They had a bicycle cart in the back, and this megaphone was, they ran it by 8 big D batteries, so it had a box, and then it had a, and so this man's walking behind it, going, blah, 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 Brother Georgie, we'll be speaking at market, you know. And I get there, and the market's filled with people. And the guy said, come around, everybody. So hundreds of people are gathering around, and I'm getting more.
Hallelujah.
You know, I always say that was probably my most nervous message of all of India. But everything kept telling me, go back again. And, you know, we went to India 6 times in the 90s, 1990, 1992, 1993, 1994, and 1996. Was that the last year, Barak? Was it 96 or 98? 98. And, you know, brethren, never give up. Because, you know, India is one of the hardest places to go. They call it the graveyard of all missionary places. And I'm telling you, you got to be girded up, because when you get there, you're being hit with all sorts of thoughts. Devil's bombarding your mind. He doesn't want you there. It's his domain. It's his kingdom. And I would go, and, you know, Brother Cecil, Brother Bert, it was a more easier to preach than it was for me. And sometimes I'd get back and I'd go, I'm not going again. I'm not going again. A year later, we're going to India. Okay, I'll go. I'm telling you something about my own personal struggles. I love God with all my heart. Don't get me wrong. I committed everything to God, but I found that once you commit everything to God, it's not an easy cakewalk. But God gave me, and He's given all of us, a promise. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And if you put God first, God takes you on a journey that I'm still on. Right, Judy? I'm still learning how to be righteous. I'm still learning how to sometimes keep my mouth shut when I open it and wish I would have closed it. Huh? Put your foot in your mouth. But none of you ever have that, do you? How about husband and wife relationships? Honey, my lovely wife over here, we're going to be married 45 years in April. Wow. 45 years. We're still learning and growing and loving one another, aren't we? Huh. We came down here to Texas, I think it was a year ago. We were riding. I mean, we were like we were on our honeymoon. We had a 17-hour drive in a car. We had our things, and we just enjoyed one another. We said, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, God. You know, brethren, thank God for your spouses. Amen. You know, sometimes the devil comes and he wants to say all sorts of things. Just tell him he's a liar. Amen. So I'm telling you some of these things because, as you know, a lot of times Christians, young Christians say, well, where's my place in God? You ever question that? Anybody else? Okay. You know, and I would do that. And one time I some of my companions traveling overseas, I had always overcome, and I'd say some things and they'd just laugh. And they'd say, just get into Christ. I go, wow, well, that seems too easy. What am I? What am I function? What am I to do, you know? And I'm here to tell you that God's hand's upon each and every one of us. And we may not be real young in age, but sometimes we need to trust God. That, you know, the Bible says that he gave gifts to men. Every one of us here has gifts. And sometimes you may not know about it for 10, 15 years. Hallelujah. You know why, sure? Because you think of yourself, Judy, but all around you are a great blessing to each and every one of us. Amen. You are a great blessing. I'm telling you, your walk convicts me to walk more when I see how you love and you love the people of God. Amen. You know, and it is. And sometimes we look at gifts as something, well, I don't have this gift, so I'm less. But it's not at all. Sometimes a gift of hospitality. I look at you. You know, when I heard the story of you ministering to these babies from mothers that were on drugs and whatever, and how you just loved them and you spoke life, I said, God, I'm appreciative to have my sister. I wish I had that capability. Amen. Hallelujah. See, this is the thing, how the devil works. Sometimes we look too much around to one another and just have to look to God. Because He says we're fearfully and wonderfully made. Hallelujah. Hope no one's going anywhere, and I haven't even started on what I wanted to share. But, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Each and every one of you. I look out because I look out at many of you I've known for many, many years. And I'm sitting here in this conference and I'm saying, God, thank you. Thank you I'm with the people of God. Thank you that I'm here and that we're rehearsing the Word of God together. We're worshiping God together. I would not want, if someone could come and say, I'll give you $100 million to go back to where you were, I'd say, no. Amen. What good would that be? That won't buy me joy and happiness. It'll bring destruction. Huh? They did a report that all these people that joined the lottery, everyone that wins the big jackpot, $5 million, $50 million, $300 million, after a year or 3 years, their lives are destroyed. They say they're worse off than when they had it. Why? Because money cannot buy you happiness. Money cannot buy you peace. And there is something that each one of you, that has received Christ, you have the ability to walk with God and let God's nature be conformed in you. Hallelujah. And the key is to love God first and foremost. I mean, things that we have been taught, it's all very good. But unless you apply faith and your walk with God personally. I was talking to one of the young people here, and they feel their relationship with God, they should be closer. Well, I can tell you the way you get closer is get in your prayer closet and talk to Him. And the way that when you're in your prayer closet, you just have to believe. He's your Heavenly Father. He loves you. Go back to the day that He saved you. Huh? If He saved me, boy, I was a very unrighteous person. I was a very unlovable person. In fact, I thought, boy, my wife loves me yet after 7 years of marriage? Because I was very selfish. Huh? But God, in my unlovableness, while I was yet a sinner, He died for me and gave the price. You know, some of the things that we have is we have to learn God more. And the more we have, no matter what our problems, personal problems is, God will take care of them. He doesn't look at the problems. He looks at your heart. And He says, if your heart, He said, give me your heart and I will give you the kingdom. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So I was this young Christian loving God and yet all these struggles going on year after year. But you know, I can tell you they get less. And while they get less, we grow more. Huh? All of you here, a lot of you, I know your parents. Look at your parents. Do you think that they were that way 20 years ago? No, they had to grow and learn God. Hallelujah. I remember when Barrick and Stacy got married. But they wanted God. They wanted the Lord. And so God was working on them, teaching them. They had children. They wanted to instruct their children. You know, parents get better as years go on. Do you know that? Their instructions get better because they learn. They make mistakes. If you ever have a grudge against your parents, repent quickly. Because I don't know of any of us that are a perfect parent. Anybody here a perfect parent? Raise your hand. I don't think Martin's finger was raising his hand, right, Martin? He was pointing at Josh. I thought, he's got his finger up. Don't ever give up in the midst. Amen? Amen? Amen?
Amen.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're not done with Luke yet. Let's go back to Luke. How many here is wanting to love God with all their heart, their soul, their mind, their strength? Amen. Okay. But Jesus also added a little something to here. Well, first the lawyer said it because he quoted the two greatest commandments of all. And in verse 27, I read, and he answered, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Amen? I think we all know that, right?
Hallelujah.
Amen? Okay, in verse 28, and Jesus said to him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Amen? But he was tempting Jesus, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Praise the Lord. Who is my neighbor? Well, Jesus goes on and speaks it, and we'll go to that part. But I want to share with you an experience I had last summer. Shared it with a number of people, and honestly, this is the first conference I've been in since Dubuque conference in May. In fact, it's been quite a year, but God has carried me through. And I wanted to thank each one of you for all the many, many prayers you have prayed for me. 2018 is going to be a better year for me. Hallelujah. Yeah. 2017 was a year of challenge. And Sue can attest to this. We had gotten our tickets. We got everything ready to go to the Philippines. But physically, I was going sort of down instead of up. But I was still hopeful still hopeful, buying the tickets, still hopeful, planning, making the arrangements, until we went. Now, you know, thank God for lovely wives. You know, my wife didn't say a word to me, don't go. She said, if you feel to go, you know, I'm just praying. And I didn't feel like, don't go, don't go, don't go. And we went to this one particular doctor. He was an arthritis doctor. And he's looking over my record. He goes, you know, Mr. Herrig, you're a very complicated case. I go, okay. So he's going on and on. And very nice man. Actually, he was a provision for me because, to make a long story short, the one doctor I had up in Dubuque said, you need to go to Iowa City. I can't help you anymore. And since then, that whole thing has shut down. But anyway, he was there, very kind. He was not saying anything. And I'm sitting there thinking, all right, I need this doctor to give me the okay, you know. And I'm hoping that, you know, that'll agree with my wife, you know. So my wife's not saying anything. And did you bring it up or did I? I think I brought it up, didn't I?
On the way there, I said, why don't we ask him? And he said, no, we don't need to.
Yeah. So we get there and we're talking so I'm thinking, I'm hearing all the other stuff and I'm thinking, he's going to let me go to the Philippines or not. So I said, hey, doctor, I says, I got a trip planned to the Philippines and yeah, I'm still going through these other treatments for the other stuff I was involved with. He said to me, he posed a question to me. He said, George, you know, if you feel to go, you have the liberty to go. But he goes, I'm telling you, your system at this time is compromised. And he said something, and I knew it was God. He said, you know, are you willing to go on this trip and jeopardize your health where you may not be able to go again? Or are you willing to...
Is
this trip more important to jeopardize it that you would never go on trips again? I thought, oh, he put it to me in a way that I wasn't really wanting to hear. And I knew it was the voice of the Lord. It was one of the hardest decisions I had, wasn't it, Susan? Driving back, you ever get into periods of being low? You know, it was a low thing. I mean, we've been going to the Philippines. I think I missed one other time 2 years before for another physical related. And I was discouraged. And I think sometimes God comes to us in different ways to encourage us, even when we don't go. Amen? Can we say amen?
Amen.
I hope nobody's asleep. All right, praise the Lord. Well, I'm going back a little bit to what I'm encouraging you. I did not know that there were certain gifts God gave me, and they did not materialize until probably I started 7 years after I got saved. I started to have certain dreams and visions. And this one particular, you know, and I thought, praise the Lord. Well, everybody's having dreams and visions, you know, no problem. And one day I had this dream and I dreamt that we were in our meeting. It was Saturday night. We were going to have a Sunday morning meeting. And I dreamt, there we are praising the Lord in the meeting. And all of a sudden, Brother Wade gets up. And Brother Wade, now this is something like 1989, I think it was, 1989. And Brother Wade gets up in the dream, and he can't speak. And the more he tried to speak, all of a sudden he started to weep. And in the dream I said, Brother Wade, I go, if you just would open up your heart, it will not only bless you, it'll bless all of us. And I wake up that morning, and I go, whoa, that's different. You know, I didn't think much of it until we went to the meeting that morning and we're praising the Lord. And all of a sudden, Brother Wade gets up and, you know, that sort of makes me sort of, what? You know, he doesn't normally would get up right away after the meeting. And all of a sudden, he can't speak. He starts to weep. And I'm sitting there, well, what would you do? What would you do, Ruby? Huh? What would you do? Right. Well, what I spoke in the dream. All of a sudden, I'm seeing all this, and I'm thinking, I had the words. And I go, Brother Wade, I said, if you would just open up your heart, I go, you'll be blessed today and you'll bless all of us. He started to weep. He began to open up his heart. His daughter, who was a year and a half old, had medical problems. They had to put a heart murmur. Remember, it was, I think, their youngest daughter. Yeah, and he just shared the struggle it was. But, you know, I walked away from it. I go, this is different. You know, sometimes you have dreams and you interpret it, but to get a dream that exactly what goes on, God gives 12 hours early, tells you that God, who else knows the future but God? Right? Hallelujah. That sort of started my realizing that's something that God was doing in me. But, you know, even with a gift, doesn't make you righteous. Because the gifts and callings are without recompense. But it helped me to fear God more. And know that whatever God gives me, I need to give to the people of God. Amen? So, you young people, just, you know, don't worry what gift. Just love God, and you're going to be surprised what's going to come forth in you. May not be this year or next year. Some of you are already starting to develop in the gifts, whatever it may be. But you have to trust God. You can't look like, well, I want what this guy has. No, we're not to look at one another. We need to look to God. So anyway, during the time, I think the brethren left, what was it, Mark, June 21st or something? Well, somewhere around there that you left back for the Philippines and said goodbye to George. And during that week, I can tell you the date. June 28th, 2017, I had this dream. I called it a neighbor on Angela Street dream. Now, to those of you who don't know, when we first got saved, we lived on Angela Street in Dubuque. It was sort of prophetic. Brother DeCia would come to our house and he says, Angelos, messenger. And then we were all mail carriers besides, or worked at the post office. You're all messengers of God. And he was speaking it right in the spirit. And it sort of amazes me over the years that a number of things that God speaks in dreams to me relate to Angela Street, different parts in Dubuque, especially my father's house. I can't tell you how many dreams concerning my father's house. And in fact, the one that we started the conference was speaking of. It's talking about the father's business. My dad was a barber. He had a barber business. I had a number of dreams that it pertained to my father's business. So these things speak of something that's important. I've been told that. I don't want to say I interpret the dreams myself. I try not to interpret them because it's best that you don't interpret your own dreams. But thank God we have many here that are interpreters of it. But this dream was pretty self-explanatory. A number of my dreams are that needs a little interpretation. So let me read this. And then I just want to share things that come to me concerning it in the Word. It says, in this dream, I found myself on the upper part of Angela Street. This man who had a family lived in a one-story ranch home on the corner of Angela and Catherine Street near my father's house, where my father's house was located. I knew the man and was not really close to him. In fact, there always seemed to be some sort of contention by him towards me, and this had gone on for many years. That's in the dream. In the dream, at this particular moment, the Spirit was convicting me that the man's condition and disposition should not be affecting me in any way of my love towards the man. Can you read that sentence again? I said the Spirit was convicting me that the man's condition and disposition should not be affecting me in any way of my love towards the man. I knew it was my responsibility to show the man God's love, so I walked up to his house and rang the bell. You know, the bell in front of their door, you know. And I could see through the windows. You know, a lot of doors sometimes have little windows. Back in the 60s and 70s, you had like a little diamond shape where if you're standing there, oh, what's inside the house? anyway, not being too nosy, but I was doing it in the dream. I said, I could see through the window at the door that his wife was there with another man. So it was this man who was always sort of hostile towards me, another man and his wife. And so the wife answered the door, and I greeted her, and I asked if I could speak to her husband. Because my determination was to tell the man, see, I wanted to talk to him alone. I said I was to tell the man that regardless of the divide, I wanted him to know that I would do anything on my part to break the coldness or the impasse. See, there was something initiating me to mend the breach. Now, I then saw through the window, the woman went back to her husband and the man. And now I saw through the window that the other man was now coming to the door with the man. So the man I was wanting to talk to was coming, but this other man was coming at first. And it at first really disappointed me because I wanted to talk to the man alone. But then, as they drew close to the door, I was astonished by what I saw. The reason the man was accompanying the man that had a problem with me was that that man was blind. And the man was leading him by some type of a string or a rope. At this particular point, I also noticed a young child was by my side that was blind, in which I also was leading the child by a rope in a certain way. We'll leave that part. But as I then realized, at that point, when I saw the man was blind, I realized how handicapped this man was. And all of a sudden, I felt a wave of compassion come over me towards that man. I knew that he was incapable of being where I was. I then began to talk to the man that I loved him and wanted the best for him. My heart was to let him know that I had nothing against him and would do anything to help him have peace. I woke up from my dream. When I woke up from my dream, immediately the parable of the Good Samaritan came to mind. Let us go to Luke. A man, remember, this lawyer says, okay. But he was willing to justify himself in 29 and said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, you know, it's interesting, he didn't come out and tell him who his neighbor was. He says, he's telling a parable. He says, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. You know, this parable speaks of us before we come to Christ. We're like that man. But even after we come to Christ, it also speaks about our neighbor. And it says, they left them half dead. I mean, you know, when you look at what they did to that guy, he was near death, took everything he had, stole his raiment. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed on the other side as well. A Levite and a priest. What would that represent? Sort of the religious people of the day? Isn't that right? Huh? Remember, in Israel, the priests were those that took care of the tabernacle or the temple. The Levites were of the same caliber. I think, well, the priests of those days were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Yet they did nothing to help the man. Hallelujah. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Let's look at this for a second. Who is a Samaritan? Well, they were enemies to the Jews. Jews didn't want nothing to do with the Samaritans. Huh? Isn't that right, everybody? They wanted nothing to do with Samaritans, yet his own people helped him not. But a Samaritan really was his enemy. Or to the Samaritan, the Jew was his enemy. Yet something moved that man, that Samaritan, to go beyond his Samaritanism, or go beyond his divisional things. And he saw the man, and it said what? He had compassion on him. You know, compassion isn't really given to us in the flesh, is it? I mean, some of you young people read up here, who read about the works of the flesh in Galatians? Which one was it? Oh, Ethan. Didn't say anything in the midst of hatred, sedition, heresies, and all these. It didn't call of sudden see compassion, did it? No, it's not something that is of the flesh. It's something that comes from the nature of God. Do you think the devil has compassion? Incapable? Does anybody believe here that the devil has compassion? No, he does not. So compassion comes by the nature of God. Hallelujah. And it says here that when he saw him, he had compassion on him. You know, brethren, when I was born again, I had to ask God to change my heart. I had to ask God to help me to love. Huh? And you know, the Spirit of God will give us everything we need if we submit to Him. Huh? We weren't naturally born with agape love, were we? No. Agape love. We were probably grew up and we had family love. We loved our parents. But the Bible tells us there's a difference between phileo love and agape love. Huh? And agape love is something I know I'm asking God more of. So this Samaritan, verse 33, he had compassion on this man. And he went to him. And what did he do? He bound up his wounds. Hallelujah. Now, this is a parable about a man that was taken and beaten physically. But you know, there's a lot of people in the world that walk around with spiritual wounds, hurts, huh? Things that sometimes aren't so readily apparent. But God is calling us. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Joseph, is it the neighbor that's above you or below you? Yes. Is it the one that lives beside you? Yes. How about your sisters? Huh? Huh? They're the closest by you. They're your neighbor. Husband and wives. Yes, we're married, but you know, our spouses to one another, they're the nearest to us. They're our neighbor. Hallelujah. You know, when I... during the summer, I had a lot of time in different hospitals and different situations, and then at home. Gave me a lot of time to pray and think, and I tell you what, if anything I meditated more on was this particular dream through the rest of the summer and into the fall. And I want God to change me. I'm not satisfied where I'm at. I've experienced compassion at times, but I know I need more compassion. I need to be not so quick to look at a person and judge them, or assess them, or you think, hey, they should be doing better than that, you know. Hallelujah. This Samaritan came, it says he bound up his wounds, and what did he do? He pouring in oil and wine. He poured in the oil. You know, we sang that song earlier today, someone, and it says, you know, he poured in the oil and the wine. The kind that restoreth my soul. He found me bleeding and dying on that Jericho road. And he poured in the oil and the wine. Didn't he do that to each one of us? He poured it into us. He changed us. He poured in the oil. What's the oil representative? Holy Spirit. What's the wine? The blood of Jesus. Huh? The blood of Jesus. You know, there are so many things in the scripture that speaks to us of this same type nature. You know, you talk about the parable of the king who forgave the person with the 1,000 talents, and yet the man owed his servant, or his servant owed him, maybe, 1 talent, and he wouldn't forgive him. You know, it's talking about this fleshly nature that is contrary to the nature of God. You know, if God forgives us for everything, how should we be to one another? Amen? I, one thing I'm trying to learn more is forgiveness in my life. And I found something, many of you probably have heard, when we first got saved, and I think it was the next day after we got saved or the day after, God spoke to me. There were 2 men that I had not talked to for 2 years while I was unregenerated. They called me all sorts of names. I felt it was unjustified. So I just wrote them off. They didn't exist. Worked in the post office with them. To me, they were just ghosts in the background. And they were happy to ignore me, to tell you the truth, too. But I felt justified. But guess what? I mean, God saves me. He delivers me. And the first thing he does to me is he says, you need to go and ask forgiveness for these 2 men. And I realized it right away. I didn't have to fight with God or anything. I knew I was wrong. I knew that even though they did bad to me, I was reproducing bad to them. And I think I told the story. So I went to the first man, and he was very grumpy with me. I said, hello, Bob, you got a minute? What do you want? And I said, I'm just here to tell you I want to ask your forgiveness. Jesus had touched my life, and I was wrong in not talking to you, and I'm asking you to forgive me. And he looked at me, and I'm waiting for him to say, well, George, that's good. He looked at me, and he says, you're crazy. Get out of here. I thought, whoa. I go, I wasn't expecting that. And I thought, whoa. And so I walked away. I go, you know, I'm thinking, wow, what do I do now? And the Lord nudges me to go to the second man. And I'm thinking, boy, if I got this response, what am I going to get with this other man? You understand? So I see him over across the postal workroom floor. He's over there throwing in box H section. We have different sections for box mail. If you ever go to a main post office, you come up to your little window and open the door. Well, guess who's behind on the other side? People like me throwing the mail in, you know? And he was over there. And I go over and I pray, and God, give me strength. Help me with this man. And I come over and I said, hey, Dick. I go, you got a minute? He goes, well, what do you want? I go, well, rehearse the same thing I said to the first man. I said, well, Dick, I said, I just want to ask your forgiveness. I go, I know we've had things different. I haven't talked to you for a long time, but I'm telling you, Jesus touched my life, and he says I need to come and ask for forgiveness. He just was quiet. You could hear a pin drop. He bowed his head, and I'm waiting for the shoe to fall, you know. And all of a sudden, he says, you know, George, I forgive you. He said, I want to tell you, he says, I was in a Baptist church a few weeks ago, and they had a altar call, and I went up and I gave my heart to God. And I'm telling you, for a young Christian just 2 days old, what a great blessing, you know, because you feel God working, you know. And I'm going to tell you, from that day on, him and me were great friends. The other one had a difficult time with me. Had a difficult time with me for many years, didn't talk to me again for another 7 years, but I kept praying for him. Kept praying for him. And this other relationship with this man, he had a rough time in his life serving the Lord. But every time I go with him, he goes, you know, George, I'm not serving the Lord the way I should. I said, well, Dick, I go, just, you know, I just encourage him, you know. You just encourage him. And years went on, and the first man, I ended up seeing him a few years back, and he had retired out of the post office, and he was a veteran, so he was selling those little flowers they sell at supermarkets on Disabled Vets Day, DAV. And I was surprised how friendly he was. Oh, George, how you doing? I don't know if he overtimed things, but he was very friendly. You know, I talked to him back. I was glad that he was that way. And I think a year later, he passed away. Hallelujah. And I was so thankful because, see, I could do one of two things. Either I could hold something against him, but I knew God wanted me just to continue to pray. If someone doesn't treat me right, does that mean I should treat them bad? No, to pray for them. The Bible says, bless those that curse you and despitefully use you. Huh? Do good. Do not repay evil for evil, but good for evil. And you know, you can pray for me. You know, 37 years of walking with the Lord, I'm really still learning how to keep my heart pure towards people. Not to hold, you know, if I hear somebody say something that, you know, I hold it against them. Hallelujah. You know, one of the times in our fellowship, when we first got saved, other people got saved, and we started having a Bible study, and within a year and a half, we had a little church group. Ministers were coming and everything, and there was one particular man in his family, his group, that after several years, things started to go, you know. It started to split away, and the family eventually left, but in the meantime, it was a difficult situation. The man had problems with the word, he had problems with me, and I had a fight, you know. Especially when you get emotionally involved with people, you get close with people, and you get hurt, right? Are a few nodding? Huh? Yeah, we get hurt. But you know, I'll always remember, and thank God for Brother DeCille. He really, him and Mavis always helped us out. They really taught us in our early years, and he really saw the split coming, and he saw the problems in it, and So I'm telling him one day, and so I'm always telling him, you know, I'm trying to be truthful to him about what my inner thoughts are. And I said, hey, you know, Brother Cecil, I says, you know, I'm having a struggle. I go, I got some bad feelings about the guy. I can't seem to get rid of it. And you know what he said? He says, oh, he says, you don't want to be part of the problem. You want to be part of the solution. Hallelujah. And I thought, you know, and I prayed after, I said, you're right. How do I become part of the solution? I get rid of any bad thoughts or feelings. Come on, now don't you have to fight sometimes, hurt, when someone says something bad about you? And sometimes you want to respond, right? You know, but God wants us to be righteous. And it took a while to get over that, to pray. My wife and we would have to pray because we were very close with them and we were hurt. But we had to say, God, touch us. Set us free from. We want to bless them. And you know something? It was another interesting thing about that situation. Sue will probably remember it. We were on the farm in Wisconsin. I think we were just 4 or 5 years in the Lord. And you know, as we were going through all this split, Cecil Mavis came out to our place. And the first thing he says, how is this? You know, he said his name, their family. I said, well, you know, I just said this is where they're at. And he said, well, let's just pray for them right now. He says, God, bless so-and-so. Bless their household. I thought, wow, if I could have a heart like that, you know? Do you know what I'm saying? Bless instead of curse. Hallelujah. 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 You know, this neighbor thing encompasses a lot. You know, in the dream, what shocked me was the man was blind. He couldn't see. Sometimes we have struggles with people. And I had a word of wisdom that came to me one time and says, you know, I want to just share something with you, this one brother said. He says, yeah, that person has struggles, but you know what? You're looking at it the wrong way. It's like he's in a wheelchair and you're trying to run a race with someone in the wheelchair. They're disabled. They don't have the same ability, right? And that's what it was in the dream, because in the dream, I saw he was blind and I knew that he was not in the place where I was at. I was physically able, but the man was blind. We have natural blindness, but don't we have spiritual blindness? Sometimes we don't see. Does that mean that we're better than somebody? No, far, far, far from it. The Samaritan said he had compassion upon him. You know, does anybody here need more compassion in their life? I think we all do. And you know, I believe the word of God says whatever you ask in his name, he will do. Hallelujah. So this Samaritan, He bound up his wounds. He poured in the oil and the wine. You know that's the basis of our salvation message. When we reach out to people, we're willing to pour in the oil and the wine, right? And that's true. You know, we lead them to the Lord. But you know, there's healing that is needed among the people of God, and we can either be detriments to it, or we can be nurses and doctors. Hallelujah. I remember one time the Lord spoke to me and says, you know, the people of God are like, it's like a hospital. Everybody has various needs. Some people are only coming in for a checkup. Some people are doctors and nurses, right, Lucy? Huh? But there's a lot of rough cases, aren't they, Lucy? Hallelujah. And they need the special attention. Hallelujah. And I think I'm stirring up some of you, because I'm not stirring that you don't, because I think that there's many of you have testimonies of how God has worked in your life to minister life to people. Huh? Amen? Just a few amens. Are we quiet? I hope I'm not putting people to sleep. Hallelujah, because I'm not tired yet. I'm not done yet. But I tell you, brethren, I just, to know the nature of God. And how many of us say we want to be like Jesus? Huh? We want to be like Jesus. All I ask is to be like him. Well, if we're going to be like him, we got to be like him. Huh? He had compassion on many. He healed them all at times. Huh? He had the compassion on the woman in adultery. It says, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. They all left one by one. Hallelujah. So it says he poured in oil and wine and set him on his own beast, his own livelihood, his own substance. He put him on that beast and he took him to an inn, right? It says that he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Oh, I forgot to tell you. Thank you, hon. I forgot to tell you that second man that was very open to me. I was wondering what happened to him. You know, he moved to another city, and it was just last week. I thought, yeah, I'm going to type his name in. He passed away 2 years ago. Didn't even know it. But I know what he had was genuine. And I hope for the other man that he got salvation. I really do. We don't want to see anybody in hell, do we? Even the roughest person, we don't want to see them. And you know, that speaks of another thing about compassion. You know, we were taught, many of us were taught in different conferences that, you know, that if you have difficulties with somebody and you don't feel you can love somebody, have compassion on them. Look beyond their reaction to the spirits that are driving them. Amen. When we could see with eyes like that, how can you not have compassion and say, oh God, deliver that person. I don't want to see that individual being taken by spirits, or even at the worst, that end up in hell. Remember the word says we are our brother's keeper. Amen. So Jesus said in 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Was it the Levi? Huh? In all of his ceremony, in all of his things that he was doing, was he the neighbor? No. Did I say Levi? What about the priest? Same way. But it was the Samaritan. So this verse says here, and he said unto him, he said, which one of these thinkest thou that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Mercy. That's another thing. Having compassion is one thing. Another thing is to have mercy. Doesn't the Bible say that mercy rejoices against judgment? Huh? Doesn't it? I need more mercy in my life. I read the words. It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of me? or the. Come on, can you say it with me? It is to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Hallelujah. They go hand in hand. Huh? You cannot help but be humble before God and not have mercy. But I know that I wasn't born with mercy. I have to fight these things that the devil wants to work, or my upbringing or whatever. Huh? That I didn't show very much mercy. But God is saying we're supposed to show mercy. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. He says, he that showed mercy unto him. Then said Jesus, and he said what? Go and do thou likewise. Hallelujah. You know, brother, I know it's not in me. It is not in me, George Herrig, the man of the flesh, to have mercy and compassion. But as I crucify this flesh with the affections and the lust, and I seek the face of God, you know, the Spirit of God comes to us. You know, we were talking, you know, the one thing that stirred me to share this message with you tonight was actually when you were sharing last night and the tabernacle was up here, and Joseph had the Ark of the Covenant, and you talked about agape love, huh? That's the nature of God, right? Isn't that what we are attaining to? To walk in God's nature? Hallelujah. I'm not there yet. You pray for me. But God is wanting us to come into His fullness. And we have to lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily besets us. Because, see, God wants to move inside of each one of us. We're talking about, it was said earlier in this meeting about that you are the light of the world. How are you the light of the world? When you let Jesus come fully in you. The more you open up to Jesus, the more the nature of God gets into your thinking, into your emotions, your desires, and your will. And all of a sudden, you find yourself, the more that you're delighting yourself with God, you start moving in that Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. It's marvelous. And I've tasted it. You've tasted of it. But I want to taste more of it. And you know, after I had that dream, I had to look back at certain relationships, and I had to look, and I know some people today don't like me very much. You have some people that might not like you, or, huh? But I had to find myself when that thought comes. You know, another thing, you know, sometimes thoughts come to you. You think of a person, and then all of a sudden, you start thinking of what happened, right? Or you start thinking of what that person said to you. You know, it's a trap of the devil. Because the more that you think about it, the more you feel hurt about it. But I had to find myself when praying and meditating over this dream. I thought, God, when individuals come that have spoken against me or don't treat me rightly or think of me, God, forgive them, bless them, forgive them, bless them, forgive them, bless them, forgive them, bless them. And you know what? Sometimes it took days. Sometimes it took weeks. But you know what? I found I had a victory then. Because after those 2 or 3 weeks of changing my thought pattern, well, what I was really doing was I was casting down the devil. That's another thing. A lot of thoughts that come to us is the devil comes and brings them to us. And we don't think that. We think they're our own mind. So we meditate on them. It's the devil. If it's not bringing glory to God, it's not coming from the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I want to overcome. I want to overcome my thoughts that want to bring me into captivity, that want to stop me from the presence of the relationship of God and the nature of God to flow through me. I want to think good of my brothers and sisters. And even if they get upset with me, I still want to think good of them. Hallelujah. Now, circumstance and situation, you can say, well, Brother George, does that mean that the circumstances, that you just look over them? Well, yeah, in a way you do. But what you do is you give the circumstance back to God. Huh? The Bible says that we're not to judge our brother. We can discern something's not right. We can be spiritual people. But then what do we do with that spiritual thought and that spiritual thinking is that we need to move in the nature of God. Hallelujah. We need to move in the nature of God. Hallelujah. I need to move in the nature of God. I don't want to point any fingers here. I want to say to me, pray for me. I want to overcome. I want to be what Jesus said, to love my neighbor as myself. And you young people, you have wonderful opportunities with your families and your brethren among you. Don't let it be a gossip thing. Don't let, you know, what you see here. Oh, did you see what this sister did? Or this? It opens the door for the devil. You're not being a good neighbor, are you? Huh? Are you? No. So, I hope that you can learn a lot faster than what I've ever learned in my life. Because the longer that we don't learn our lessons, the longer we still stay in our state of imperfection. So, praise the Lord. I think I'm done. If anybody of you would like that dream, I could certainly send it to you. Just let me know. Some people like to read them over. Do you think we could respond to the Lord tonight? Can we pray together? Do you feel you need more compassion? More love? More mercy? I do. But can we agree together tonight? Why don't we bow our heads and let's just pray. Father, your word tells us that dreams come from three different places. They come from the devil, they come from a multitude of business, and they come from God. Lord, I believe this dream has come from your throne. And I believe, Lord, that it's not for me only, but for your people. And even as my brethren here tonight, and even those that may hear this message, witness that this dream is from you, Lord, we're asking that you would help us not only to love you with all of our hearts and our souls, our minds and our strength, we're asking you to help us so that we love our neighbors as ourselves. I can't even comprehend, Lord, how that all relates, because I can't even comprehend how much I put you, myself first before others. But I'm asking you to help me. And Lord, I'm praying that you would also help all my brethren here that feel that need. Lord, it says if the shoe fits, wear it. Lord, if there is a need that we see and recognize in our hearts, in our souls, that we need to come into that dimension of agape love. Lord, that we can truly love our neighbor, whoever it may be, our physical neighbors, Lord, our co-workers, Lord, the people we meet on the street, Lord, people in our gatherings, in our fellowship, the people in the body of Christ, and in the church, Lord God. God, you've said that these are our neighbors, and God, give us eyes to see that how we can be a good neighbor. Help us to be changed, Lord. I know that in me, I lack mercy and compassion and agape love. I still see so shortedly, Lord, when in communion with others. Sometimes I am so blind, Lord, that I don't even see the need. But I'm asking, God, that you would give me eyesight so that I might be about your business and being a blessing, Lord, to those around me. Lord, we are to be a blessing to the world, a light to the world to save sinners. But your word also tells us that we're to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. God, I pray that any unforgiveness in this place or in our hearts, that you would remove it. We want to repent of any unforgiveness, thoughts that keep us bound, thoughts that bring hurt to us. And God, there are things that keeps us captive. God, we don't want to be held captive. We want to be free. We want to walk in liberty of the Spirit. And it can only be done if we have clean hands and a pure heart. God, we don't want to be like the Levite. We don't want to be like the priest, Lord, that just looked the other way. But we want to be like you, Jesus, because it was you that was the Good Samaritan that saved us and bound up our wounds and poured in the oil and the wine. Now, God, you said we're to do that to others. Help each one of us, Lord. I'm going to ask you something. If you witness that, you just stand. If you witness that you need it, just stand. And we're going to ask God to pour in. Hallelujah. If you don't need it, it's no problem. But if you need it, if you need that compassion, need that mercy and love, we're asking God tonight to do something to us. Hallelujah. Father, pour in the oil and wine to us tonight, the kind that restores our soul. We see, God, we need more of you. We need more of your agape love. We need more of your mercy and your compassion. God, whoever is before our minds tonight, we bless them. Whoever it is that we struggle with, whoever it is that, God, that we've been hurt by, God, we forgive them tonight. We forgive all those that have worked against us or spoke ill about us. We forgive them. We want to bless them tonight and ask that you touch their lives. Touch them so that they might walk at liberty, that they might be free from anything that binds them. Hallelujah. Loose them tonight, Lord. We just loose people tonight. Hallelujah. God, if there's rifts or aughts in families and situations, God, put it in our heart. Put it in our heart not to just walk past them, but to make right any wrongs so that we can look upon one another in our families, even husbands and wives. Tonight, God, help each one of us. God, I ask tonight, give me more love and compassion for my wife. She's been so faithful to me, God. She's loved me and she's put up with me, even my jokes. God, help me. Help me to love my wife without conditions and to keep her as the apple of my eye. And help us together. You said one can send 1,000 to flight, two can send 10,000. Help our prayer life so that we can bless others and that we can do good in every aspect of our lives. God, I'm just praying. I pray for myself and I pray for all of us here. Pour in your spirit to us. Pour it in right now. We open our hearts to you. Pour into us your agape love. Pour into us your mercy, God. You said that you're mercy and slow to anger. God, pour in your mercy to us, oh God. Hallelujah. And give us compassion. Give us compassion for the lost. God, give us compassion to those about us. Let us not be so quick to assess. Help me, oh God, so I can be a righteous man. That I could do what you asked me to do. You said, Lord, that we're to love one another. So I'm asking you, change me, God. I'm asking you so that I can be a good neighbor to whoever that you put me in contact with. And bless my brethren tonight. You see every heart open here. Lord, I just pray you speak to them, you encourage them, and strengthen them to follow the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. If we obey you, then there is nothing that is too difficult for you, God. So bless each individual here tonight, God. Deliver each individual of anything that binds them. Teach them the way that the deliverance comes is through repentance and even asking forgiveness. Hallelujah. Teach them that principle. Teach all of us. Teach me. I'm still learning, God. But I want to come out at the end of the day knowing that you can say to me and to each one here, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your grace and mercy, and I thank you for the people of God. And I bless each and every one of us here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.